So today is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. And the name comes from our second reading, actually, from Philippians. St. Paul says in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice." And this text was used as the introit, the musical antiphon at the beginning of Mass. And it begins with that first word in Latin, Gaudete, rejoice. And so it came to be called Gaudete Sunday. And because this day is all about rejoicing, the vestments are not purple, the color of penitence, but they're a more joyful color, this rose vestment. You know. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know, maybe it's salmon, you know. Maybe it's a joyful color because whenever you're eating salmon, it's a good time. I don't know. So today we have the pink candle. We have the pink vestments reminding us to rejoice. We have St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians commanding us to rejoice. But what are we supposed to be rejoicing about? What are we rejoicing about? St. Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. What does that mean, to rejoice in the Lord? It means to rejoice about something connected to your faith, to rejoice about something with the Lord. Think of in the early days of the church, think of the martyrs. They're in prison. They're waiting to be marched into the Colosseum. They're being led out. They're anticipating being killed, torn to pieces by wild beasts. And there, instead of cowering in fear or despairing, they're there singing hymns of joy. They're rejoicing in the Lord, even there, even at the point of death. Rather less dramatic, but I had an experience of rejoicing in the Lord last night. You know, here at OLG, we have the Acts 29 Bible study going on, and we finished the first segment of it, and we took our break for Advent and Christmas. So the leaders of the group had a party last night to celebrate it and to think about the next phase of it. And we had some good food, some wine, lots of camaraderie. And then we were sharing what we were grateful for about Acts 29 so far. They were sharing graces from it that they'd received. And people were going around talking about the great growth that they'd seen in their small groups, how people's faith had been coming alive for them in a new way through sharing it with others. They were saying, the leaders were saying how their own faith had grown through this. It was beautiful, and I was so grateful to see them all leading and evangelizing and using their talents for the Lord. And as they were sharing and as we were praying afterward, I just had this great sense of joy. I was rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing that He was at work, rejoicing that people are coming to know Jesus more and to love Him more deeply. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we rejoice in earthly things all the time. I just found out we had our Vikings-Packers game today. So some people will be rejoicing and some people will not be rejoicing. We rejoice in earthly things all the time. But when's the last time that we rejoiced in the Lord? When's the last time that we really rejoiced because of something in our faith, because of something in our relationship with God? Maybe for some of you, it was last Wednesday. We had our Day of Mercy. We had hundreds of people come through here to receive the sacrament of confession, to lay down the burden of their sins and receive the Lord's mercy and forgiveness. I know many of them were rejoicing as they left, since as their sins were forgiven, God filled them with grace and joy and restored that relationship with Him. That gave them joy. Maybe it was an experience in the Adoration Chapel. Maybe you're meditating on a scripture passage, and the Lord just lets you feel the great love that He has for you, and you rejoice in that. Maybe it's when you're out there in the commons looking at the new painting, the beautiful big image of Our Lady of Grace. Maybe God uses something in that image to speak to you, to let you know the love and the care of your Mother Mary. And reveal that to you in a deeper way, and you rejoice in that. Maybe it's something small, maybe something very practical and sort of worldly that you receive that no one else would notice. But as you receive it, the thought comes to you, this is a gift from God. And then you reflect further and realize that he gave you that gift because he loves you. And you smile and thank God and rejoice in that gift and in the giver. Or maybe you don't feel like you've rejoiced in the Lord at all. Well, if that's the case for you, then it's a good thing to ask the Lord for this Christmas. Lord, help me rejoice in you. Ask for greater love for the Lord, because the more you love someone, the more you rejoice when something good happens to them, when something important in their life happens. You know, if some random middle school basketball team wins the state tournament, you probably don't care. But if it's your child's team, your child whom you love more than anything, then you'd be going wild. It'd be the party of the decade. Ask for greater love for the Lord that you might rejoice more with him. St. Paul says to rejoice in the Lord always. That sounds like it'd be rather difficult to do. Who can rejoice always? But actually, it's not that hard, because there's so many different ways to rejoice in the Lord. There's so much to rejoice about. And the Lord is always giving us something. You know, our very being comes from God. He's holding us in existence right at this moment. You can always rejoice in the Lord's gift of your being. He's always loving us into being. We can rejoice in that love. We always have a reason to rejoice. Of course, we can rejoice over explicitly religious things. We can rejoice that Jesus became man in the incarnation at Christmas. We can rejoice when we receive communion. But even ordinary things, even worldly things, if we receive them correctly, we can rejoice in the Lord over them. Say you're having dinner and it's just a really well-cooked dinner. Say maybe a nice marinated steak and it's just juicy and tender and every bite is full of flavor. You can thank God for that. God gave you that steak. And then you can go the next step and remember that God gave you that wonderful steak and that wonderful time with friends around the table because he loves you. He gives you good things because he loves you. And that means that you're not just rejoicing in the good food anymore, but the good food becomes a way you can experience God's love for you. So who all did your homework? Do you have your gratitude boxes? Have you been writing down something every day that you're grateful for? That's something that's really important to do, because here's the secret. Just about anything that you're grateful for, you can receive God's love through that. And you can rejoice in that. You can rejoice in the Lord through that thing. Say you're looking at a sunset, or maybe it's the beauty of seeing your children and family all excited for Christmas. Maybe it's a nice mocha or latte at the coffee shop. You might not think that it's a very religious thing, but you can take those natural experiences of happiness and you can take them up into prayer, and you can receive God's love through those, and you can rejoice in the Lord in that. Rejoice in the Lord always, St. Paul says. Always, even in the midst of difficulty and suffering and sorrow. Yes, it is possible. It's much more difficult in sorrow and suffering, of course, but it is still possible. Because no matter what happens to us here on earth, if we're in Christ, we know that we are loved, and we know that we will rise from the dead glorious, and that we'll be totally fulfilled with God in eternity. That's cause for rejoicing indeed. No matter how bad the day is or how bad the year is on earth, we always have that eternal hope that we are certain of and that we can rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. This Christmas, let's ask the Lord to open up our hearts, to give us a heart that rejoices in him.